the broadcasting company Clear Channel, which owns more than 850 radio stations in the United States, has changed its name to iHeartMedia. So what does that mean for the good old-fashioned radio business? Bob Pittman is CEO of iHeartMedia, formerly known as Clear Channel, and he's with us from New York. Bob Pittman, welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, what was wrong with the name Clear Channel?
Well, nothing was wrong with the name Clear Channel, except I think we just outgrew what it meant. I once ran a company called Warner MX Satellite Entertainment, and we decided one day we should change the name to MTV Networks because we had a product that everyone knew and they had no idea what Warner MX Satellite Entertainment was. And I think we've sort of gotten to the point with Clear Channel where, although it was a great name and, you know, been built over decades, that people thought Clear Channel meant something in the past and iHeart meant something in the future. So I think we decided to go with the future, and we also had become so much more than what Clear Channel had been that we spent a lot of time. We'd say, oh, yeah, no, Clear Channel. And go, no, now we're this and this and this and this. So we said, you know, I think the name is just not doing us justice at this point.
When you say something in the past, are you talking about radio? Because that's the subtext here, is that you're saying radio's the past and whatever digital media that you're broadcasting on is the future.
Well, actually, that's not the case. I think they thought about us as just old-style radio, which meant all we did was just do what we had always been doing. But today, our broadcast radio stations, which we're very proud of and we build the entire company on, do a lot of interesting stuff. Like we just did the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas, which is really all of our radio stations banding together, building and promoting this huge event that, by the way, got about 5 billion social impressions, which is about as much as the Academy Awards gets, and bigger than the halftime show at the Super Bowl. So, when you create something like that, that's, to me, the future, but it's still broadcast radio. It's just that broadcast radio can do so much more. In the old days in broadcast radio, we had a request line, and that was the only way we really communicated real time with our audience. Today, we have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, and all these become communication devices for our people on the air to be in touch with the audience on a real time basis in a very rich communication style. So it's, you know, it's what broadcast radio has become today versus 20 years ago, as well as, obviously, when we think about our broadcast radio stations, we think about the broadcast part of it is just one way to get to the consumer. But I'm sitting here in New York. Z100 is one of our most popular radio stations. And today you can get Z100 on your phone on iHeartRadio. You can get it on your computer. You can get it on your Xbox. You can get it on your Sonos. And so what we've done is we've extended the platform for our broadcast radio stations, understanding that what people love is Z100. They don't really love our transmitter or our tower. They probably don't even know we have one or know where it is. They just know they turn on a device and on comes Z100. And that, to me, is the most important thing. And that's the connection we have. And Elvis Duran in the morning is their friend for so long that they count on and know every nuance of his life.
Although I see that still just less than 5% of the listening to Clear Channel happens digitally. So it does make me wonder whether you're catering, and not just you, by the way, public radio is doing this too, moving towards throwing a lot of effort into new platforms and digital and looking towards the future. But there is that 95% of people who are still listening on the good old-fashioned radio.
And by the way, I think they always will. What we find about digital is not that it replaces the FM radio. I mean, FM radio has better fidelity. It's more convenient. You've got it in your car. You got it next to your desk. You've got it everywhere in your house. But there are places where you don't have it. My wife takes the train in to New York City. It's about an hour ride. And until we had iHeartRadio, she couldn't listen to the radio. Now she can listen to the radio on her phone. So we're able to pick up incidental listening occasions. And although it's 5% of our listening, we actually think it didn't replace other listening. It was this additional listening we picked up. What's wonderful is we finally have a transistor radio in our pocket again, and we can listen to all those occasions and all those places where we could listen to that transistor radio, we now can. We just happen to call it the phone. And by the way, sometimes the phone has an FM chip in it, so you're actually technically listening to the radio, although I think the consumer really doesn't differentiate whether they're picking it up over the internet or over mobile or over FM band. They just have found the station they love and the personality they're friends with.
Are you in favor of FM chips being put in all phones?
Oh, I'm in favor of every place we can get FM. I'm in favor of putting FM chips in people's brains.
well, but how long do you think people are going to be listening to the radio? Do you think 10 years from now the numbers are going to be very different and people will not be listening to the FM dial at that point?
Well, my favorite statistic is in 1970, about 92% of Americans listened to the radio every week. In 2014, about 92% of Americans listened to the radio every week. Most of it's done to FM, some to AM, and now increasingly the internet as well. But again, as I say, I don't think it's replacement. And I think people are, you know, it's not like TV where people are moving from one form to another, or it's not like music where they're going from the CD to iTunes to Spotify. This is just an additive, a way to get to these stations. They love the stations so much and the people on the radio so much that they look to find them everywhere they can. Why wouldn't you? If we do our job well, it's your best friend. Wouldn't you like to have your best friend with you as many times as you can and as many places?
It's Here and Now, and if you're just joining us, we've been speaking with Bob Pittman. He's the CEO of iHeartMedia. That's the new name of the broadcasting company formerly known as Clear Channel. The company owns more than 850 radio stations in 150 markets around the country, so you've probably heard some of their content.
C-100, number one for new music.
Nick Jealous is Jonas.
When you have politically correct mobs, whether it be in the universities or the vermin in the press, who threaten you if you refuse to call what is evil good and what is good evil.
¿Qué pasa con tus artistas favoritos? Muy pronto llegarán a tu ciudad Pitbull y Enrique Iglesias. Enrique
Iglesias. At the end of the day, then good gospel music.
This is the music I live for.
It's the Rush Hour of Power on WHLW FM 104.3.
Some of the content produced by iHeartMedia. And Bob Pittman, you yourself were a radio announcer at the age of 15. What got you into radio?
I always wanted to learn to fly, and I was 15 years old. You can get a student license at 16. So I told my parents, I want to take flying lessons, and they said, good, you better find a job. So I tried a job at a men's clothing store where all the kids hung out after school in this small town in Mississippi, Brookhaven, Mississippi, and they said, no, you're too young. I tried the high-paying job in town, which was bagging groceries at the Piggly Wiggly. There were no jobs available. And I walked in a little radio station. I met the owner, Bill Jones, and said, I want a job. And he said, well, do you have good grades? And I was like, yeah, pretty good. And he said, do you get in trouble? And I said, not really. And he said, well, come in this room. He turned a reel-to-reel tape recorder on, turned it on, pulled out some old teletype paper with news printed on, and said, read this news. I read it, and at the end, he listed it and says, okay, that's good enough. Go to New Orleans, get your third-class radio telephone operator's license, and you got a job. And that began my radio career.
And you did move up, and you went on to lead a lot of companies. You were one of the people who led the team that created MTV, which we remember started off with the video of Video Killed the Radio Star. Was that your decision?
It was my decision. It exactly was my decision. Pick the name of the network, pick the first video. And, of course, the interesting thing is that that was the first video on MTV. And today, music is no longer in the name MTV. They took music off of that. And radio's is as big or better than it's ever been.
But that's pretty aggressive to go in as a radio guy and have them put Video Killed the Radio Star on as the first video.
You got to have something dramatic. Come on. This is you got to have a story.
What is the biggest risk you've taken in your career, do you think?
The biggest risk I've taken in my career? You know, it's funny. I never think of things as risk. I think of them as fun, as opportunities, that I'm a curiosity seeker. And I have this view that people have these plans. They say, oh, that's too scary. That's risky. I'm going to stick with my plan. And I try to explain to them that their plan is actually as risky as the unknown. They just are living with the illusion that they have a plan, that almost nothing comes true in someone's plan, you're taking a risk anyway. So you may as well just jump in there.
And have you made mistakes in the risks or the plans that you've had over the years?
Oh, Gosh, yes. It's I think mistakes are the byproduct of innovation. I tell our folks here, probably half of the things you do will be wrong. So just be prepared that they're wrong. Change it and change it quickly until you get it right. If it doesn't work, try it again. If that doesn't work, try it again. You can't be afraid of a mistake. I used to work for this wonderful entrepreneur, Steve Ross, who took his father-in-law's two funeral homes and eventually turned it into Time Warner. And Steve used to say, in our company, you'll never be fired for making a mistake. In our company, you'll be fired for not making a mistake. Because if you're not making any mistakes, it tells me you're not trying anything new. And these assets we've given you to manage will wither away under your leadership. And I believe that, and I've taken it to heart. And I repeat it often, and I hopefully always give Steve credit.
One of the things that commercial radio has become known for is a lot of very conservative talk radio hosts. And I wonder what you think of that and whether you think that there is balance on the commercial end of the dial.
Sure. Look, I think today there's balance everywhere. We might argue too much balance, that you can find anything you want anytime, almost anywhere. I happen to politically be, on the other end of the spectrum, but I find that I am interested in everybody's point of view. I am actually especially interested in people who think differently than I do because I'm fascinated about how they could come to the conclusion when I have come to the opposite conclusion.
Do you think they go too far sometimes, though?
Well, look, I think I'm not so sure what too far is. I think people are welcome to their opinion. I'm an intelligent human being. I'll decide what I want to believe and what I don't. But I actually want my point of view to be shaped by I've heard all the points of view. What I don't want to do is hear just points of view that are my point of view. And for us to all sit in a room and say, yes, we're smart and nobody else is. And you say, well, do you even know what anybody else is saying? I welcome that. I look for it in my personal life. I think it's very, very healthy. I know there's a bigger debate on the internet than on radio about all these different points of view. But I actually think what we really have to do is make sure people listen to them all and that they get all the opinions. And then I trust human beings. And I think people actually make good decisions. And the more information they have, the better their decision.
So you don't think that sometimes when a talk show host or a political talk show host goes on the air and tells the audience that they ought to do this or that, and then they go and do it, that they're not being creating an issue where there wouldn't have been one before?
No, at all. I think that I give people a lot of credit for having a good brain. And I've never met, at least not the people I know, human beings that when someone tells them to do something, they'll say, oh, yes, I'll go do that. I think people will have their own center and their own center of gravity, their own compass. And I think they listen to points of view. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of people listen to people of opposite points of view because they want to hear them and they want to get riled up as much as people listen who share the similar point of view. So I actually think it's very healthy. And I would hate to live in a country where we didn't want that. It's funny. I grew up in Mississippi in the 1960s when the civil rights movement was in full bloom and was really the hotbed of change in the South. And I think, the more points of view you could hear, the better it was. And at that point, the points of view that were being stifled in the South were liberal points of view. So I'm having grown up in that, I'm someone who is a firm believer in free speech and want people to feel encouraged to say whatever they want to say and trust human beings will make the right judgment.
Bob Pittman, the CEO of iHeartMedia, formerly known as Clear Channel. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks. Great fun.